ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 72, entitled The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha, Text Number 7.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Samyak Vyavasitam Rajan Bhavata Shatrukarshana Kalyani Yenate Kirtir लोकान् अनुभविष्यति। सम्यक् व्यवसितं राजन् भवता शत्रुकर्षण कल्याणी येन ते कीर्तिर् लोकान् अनुभविष्यति। सम्यक् व्यवसितं राजन् भवता शत्रुकर्षण कल्याणी येन ते कीर्तिर् लोकान् अनुभविष्यति।
श्रीभगवान् उवाच सम्यक् व्यवसितं राजन् भवता शत्रुकर्षण कल्याणीयेन ते कीर्तिर् लोकान् अनुभविष्यति। श्रीभगवान् उवाच सम्यक् व्यवसितं राजन् भवता शत्रुकर्षण कल्याणीयेन ते कीर्तिर् लोकान् अनुभविष्यति। श्रीभगवान् उवाच सम्यक् व्यवसितं राजन् भवता शत्रुकर्षण कल्याणी येन ते कीर्तिर् लोकान् अनुभविष्यति।
माताजी वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। श्री भगवान् उवाच द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड सेड सम्यक् परफेक्टली व्यवसितम डिटरमाइंड राजन ओ किंग भवता बाय यू शत्रु ऑफ एनिमीज कर्षण ओ टॉर्मेंटर कल्याणी ऑस्पिशियस येन बाय विच ते युअर कीर्ति फेम लोकान ऑल दी वर्ल्ड्स अनुभविष्यति। इट विल सी ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Your decision is perfect, O King, and thus your noble fame will spread to all the worlds, O tormentor of your enemies." Purport. Lord Krishna here concurs with King Yudhishthira's decision that the Rajasuya sacrifice should be performed. The Lord further agrees that there is nothing unfair in the fact that one result is achieved by those who worship him and another result by those who do not worship him. The great Bhagavatam commentators point out that by addressing King Yudhishthira as Shatrukarshana, tormentor of enemies, Lord Krishna is imparting to him the potency to conquer all the enemy kings. Thus Krishna predicted that King Yudhishthira's noble fame would spread to all the worlds. And in fact it has spread.
Om Jnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from this chapter, the slaying of the demon Jarasandha. So we are at this stage in this chapter where Lord Krishna, along with his queens and different entourage, Lord Krishna has come to Indraprastha and the request of the Pandavas, which was submitted through the Narada Muni. And when Lord Krishna has come to, after he came to Indraprastha, on one day in the assembly, Yudhishthira Maharaj is putting forward the proposal to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj gives the reasons why he wants to perform the sacrifice. After he put forward these proposals, so then Lord Krishna here is actually approving the decision of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and then he is addressing Yudhishthira Maharaj by the word Shatrukarshana, tormentor of your enemies. So simply by addressing him as tormentor of enemies, Krishna is empowering Yudhishthira Maharaj to kill all the enemies which will be required for performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. So by that Krishna is blessing Yudhishthira Maharaj to become the conqueror of all the enemy kings. So I'll just try to share some points based on these purports in these chapters, the first 3-4 verses and this verse. So Yudhishthira Maharaj's heart is actually exhibited in these verses. The Hridayananda Maharaj writes in the purport that the heart of a preacher is actually exhibited by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says that I desire to worship your auspicious, opulent expansions in the Rajasuya sacrifice. He is using the word vibhuti. Vibhuti refers to the different expansions of the Lord in the form of the demigods. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying that I desire to worship all these demigods who are all actually your vibhutis. So therefore, please actually bless us that our endeavor will be successful. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, so if you externally see that Yudhishthira Maharaj desires to worship the demigods, but his internal purpose is that he wants to call all the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, everyone there. And he wants to glorify the
position of Krishna in the presence of all of them. Although externally his words appear to be that he is interested in demigod worship, but internally he is exclusively devoted to Krishna for the purpose of establishing the position of Krishna. He is saying that I want to worship all the demigods, because in the Rajasaya sacrifice, in the beginning of the Rajasaya sacrifice, one has to perform the Agra Puja, in which the chief personality should be respected, should be worshipped. So Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to worship Krishna as the chief personality in the Agra Puja. So we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, especially, there are many examples. Like for example, in the fifth canto, there is an example of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he performed many karmakanda sacrifices which involve worship of the demigods. But although he was worshipping the demigods through karmakanda sacrifices, but by his pure intentions, he was only performing devotional service. This means that as a king, he had to set example for the common people who may not be ready for Vaishnavism, but they need to, they are mainly interested in sense gratification, so they should be shown a dharmic way by which they can actually get the sense gratification. So that is by how they can actually enjoy sense gratification, by performing the sacrifices, by pleasing the demigods. So for the sake of the sometimes a person in the leader, in the position of a leader, for the sake of setting example for the common people, he may follow certain sub-religious principle, although his heart is not actually in that sub-religious principle, for the sake of elevating a person from the lower modes to the higher modes, who are not ready for actually devotional service. So Bharat Maharaj, in that way, he actually, for that reason, he performed these karmakanda sacrifices through different priests, through different representatives, and without putting his heart into it, just to set example for others. And when the priest would be offering Indraya Swaha, so he would think that, oh, this is an offering to the limb of my Supreme Lord. This is an offering to the hand of my Lord. This is an offering to the mouth of my Lord. So in that sense, although externally he was performing demigod worship, but by his pure intentions he remained pure. So here Yudhishthira Maharaj also, although he is saying that I am interested in worshipping your opulent expansions, your vibhutis, the demigods, but actually internally he just wants to glorify the Lord in the presence of all of them. So when we see the example of the Pandavas, so I read a beautiful verse from the Nectar of Devotion, which I would like to share. So the Pandavas, Rupa Goswami, when he describes Sakyaras, friendship with the Supreme Lord, so there he explains the love of the Pandavas. So he say, he describes actually in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has given us such a detailed analysis of rasa. So he says that in the stage of love of Godhead, so we know there are 9 stages of bhakti: Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivirti, Asakti, Ruchi, Bhava and Prema. But even the stages of Prema, he describes there are 8 stages. And then he gives characteristics of each of those stages. So prema, sneha, anuraga, raga, like that he mentions different stages. So although these are all actually much beyond, we are all struggling with anartha nivritti, but just to be aware of this, just like somebody who may be sick and he is just taking some diet given by the doctor and he is actually taking some medicines. And if he is aware of what a person can enjoy when a person is in a healthy state, so then that gives an impetus for him to actually take the treatment more seriously. So we have to be, in devotional service, two principles are important. We have to be aware of the goal and we have to understand where we are there presently. So sometimes when we know the goal, but we are not aware of our level, if we actually assume ourselves to be on a higher level, then actually we may commit some mistakes. And if we are not aware of the goal, if we simply think that anartha nivritti is the goal, and instead of understanding that artha pravritti is the goal, artha pravritti means to experience the rasa in relationship with Krishna, if we only think anartha nivritti is the goal, then all our attempts for getting rid of anartha nivritti may actually fall into impersonalism, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And if we know that, on the other hand, if we know artha pravritti is the goal, but if we are not understanding that we are still not gone through the stage of anartha nivritti, then we may actually become sahajiyas. Means like sahajiyas, they want to experience the artha pravritti, they want to experience the rasa, but without undergoing the process of anartha nivritti. So Rupa Goswami, when he describes his stages of prema, so one of the stages of prema, he mentions that the first stage of prema, that prema or sneha, he mentions one of the characteristics is that although there are so many inauspicious situations, although there are so many difficulties in the life of a devotee, but his love for the Lord does not actually decrease at all. And for that case, he gives the example of Pandavas who are in the mood of friendship with Krishna. So he quotes a verse which was spoken by Narada Muni to Krishna. So Narada Muni comes to Krishna in Dwaraka. Narada Muni says to Krishna that your Pandavas, he says that, though you are the Supreme Lord and you have appeared as the friend of the Pandavas, and although these Pandavas have met with so many calamities, they have lost their kingdom, they have been insulted, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was the emperor, but he is living like an ordinary laborer in the house of different people. So he is referring to the situation when Pandavas were in incognito. So somebody who is an emperor, but he is living like an ordinary laborer in the house of some ordinary people, but despite such inauspicious situations, the Pandavas' love for you has doubled. It has not decreased, but it has actually doubled. So usually in this world, people are, they want to experience some miracles when they take to spiritual life. Usually we consider miracles as those events, like suppose when a person has got a certain disease, and some of your person follows a particular religious ritual, and then that chronic disease miraculously disappears. So he's got a TB or cancer, and then he's been suffering intensely, suddenly one fine day he takes X-ray or MRI and then completely disappears. So when such things happen, then people feel, this process is working. So we usually consider as miracle as something when the Lord actually helps us in our diseased condition, or when we are going through a financial crisis, so suddenly we get some lottery of 1 crore or something like that, or we get some money. So when suddenly, miraculously we come out of the financial crisis, so we consider such things as miracle. But here in the life of the Pandavas, we see a completely another dimension to this. We see another high level of miracle performed by Krishna. So in the case of the Pandavas, that they were going through so many inauspicious situations, externally Krishna was not helping them. Externally there was no, Krishna was not coming and helping them. So despite when there is no personal help by Krishna, but internally the Pandavas' love for Krishna was actually doubling. It was actually increasing even more. So this is the great miracle. Because usually we see miracle in terms of when there is an external change, the disease disappears, etc. But here there is no, externally there is no interference, but internally one's faith on the Supreme Lord is actually, love for the Supreme Lord is actually doubling. So this is actually the, the highest miracle we can see. And Jiva Goswami writes in the purport, he says that Pandava's love for you was not produced by your helping them. Then how is it that the Pandava's love for you actually increased even more? So Pandava's love for you was increased by experiencing your profusion of wonderful qualities unequaled in anyone else. Their appreciation of your qualities destroyed their experience of suffering. In that sense, they were just remembering and meditating upon Krishna's qualities. And they were, by that meditation and by the remembrance of the experience of the Krishna's qualities, their love for Krishna actually only increased despite the inauspicious situation. So as I mentioned, usually people say that if Krishna performs this miracle in my life, then my life, my faith in Krishna will actually increase. So usually people, many times we think like that. But actually at the level of material religiosity, people consider God, people consider Krishna, people are concerned with Krishna for what he is going to give than for what he is. They are more concerned with what he can actually give to me than what he is. But when a person comes to a spiritual platform, when a person comes to a platform of spiritual devotion, then a person is not interested in what Krishna is going to give it to me, but a person is concerned about how to please Krishna. A person is concerned about what Krishna is. So then, when a person comes to such a position, so he wants to serve Krishna, and when without any material motivation, then when a person renders that, such kind of service, then Krishna performs the ultimate miracle. That is, Krishna actually gives himself to such a devotee. So in order to come to that platform, in order to actually experience that miracle, one has to come to the platform of Karishye Vachanam Tava. Where Arjuna said that, now I will actually execute what you, your desire. So when a person comes to this particular level, that I will execute what you say. That means like when a person tries to give importance to Krishna's message or Krishna's will, so then Krishna will actually become so much pleased with him that Krishna will fill his heart with his love. Krishna will actually give himself to such a devotee, and that is the greatest miracle which a person can experience in his life. And so we see that the Pandavas, they actually, how they treasured the message of Krishna. So we see that actually in the first canto, after the disappearance of Krishna, Arjuna is actually exhibiting, Arjuna is remembering Krishna in so many verses. Especially two verses I want to highlight here. So first, Arjuna remembers the wonderful dealings of Krishna. Narmyani udara ruchiras
स्मितशोभितानि हे पार्थ हेऽर्जुन सके कुरुनन्दनेति सञ्जल्पितानि नरदेव हृदि स्पृशाणि स्मर्तुर्लुटन्ति हृदयम् मम माधवस्य.
सो अर्जुन सेस् अर्जुन इस् सेङ्ग् दट् नौ ऐ रिमेम्बर् द heartfelt glances of Krishna and his wonderful smiles and his joking words. Krishna would address me in an affectionate way. Hey Partha, hey Arjuna, hey Sakha. So I remember all these wonderful exchanges which Krishna had towards me. Sanjalpitani Naradeva Hridis Prashanti. And all these wonderful exchanges, they very much touch my heart. Hridis Prashanti. Smartur Lutanti Hridayam Mama Madhavasya. And they actually, when I remember these exchanges, my heart becomes agitated. So Arjuna is remembering all the wonderful exchanges which Krishna had with him. But Arjuna not only remembered these wonderful exchanges, but Arjuna also remembered the Krishna's message. Desha kalartha yuktani hrittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratas chittam govinda abhihitani me. He said, now I remember those instructions of Krishna which Krishna imparted to me in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which are applicable in all time, place and circumstances, and which have the potency to remove all one's distress. So we see, like in our own life, many times if we try to reflect on these two verses, so we have experienced, like in our Krishna consciousness, sometimes in the beginning years we may have got the association of the spiritual master, maybe lot of time from the spiritual master, or somebody else, maybe lot of time from some other senior devotee, and as years pass by, so those devotees, because of their increased responsibilities and engagements, so we may not get so much of time from the same devotees from whom we got so much of time in the beginning years, and many times we actually remember. Oh, how this devotee spent so much of time, how he used to actually joke with me, how he used to sing bhajans, how he used to actually give so much of personal time. Many times we remember those dealings, but in the process of that is definitely good, those memories are actually definitely nourishes, but many times we actually fail to remember the teachings of those devotees. And especially, in order to grow in our Krishna consciousness, we not only remember those previous dealings, but especially we have to remember the teachings imparted by the spiritual master and those devotees. So here, Arjuna not only remembered the dealings of Krishna, but he also focused on the teachings of Krishna. So therefore, it is important that in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Govindra was explaining in a class that more than the Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru is more important. In fact, in the Sudama pastime, Krishna talks about three kinds of gurus. The guru who actually gives birth to the living entity, the father. And the second guru is one who gives Diksha. And the third guru is one who gives transcendental knowledge. And then he says, out of the three gurus, the third guru, one who gives the transcendental knowledge, is the most important, and that guru is as worshipable as myself. So in that sense, more than the Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru is important. Of course, Diksha Guru also acts like a Siksha Guru in most cases, but in many times one may not have the association of the Diksha Guru, and one may not get the opportunity to take siksha from the Diksha Guru. That may be the case with some devotees. So more than the Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru is important, and more than the Siksha Guru, Siksha given by the Siksha Guru is important. And that siksha may be impersonal, but the siksha has to be received from a person. So there are two extremes. So there are certain people who are known as Ritviks. So they actually, they give importance to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, but they are not interested in receiving those teachings from a person. And there may be other people who are inclined to accept a personal guru, but they don't give importance to the teachings. They just want the personal dealings, but they don't actually want to remember the teaching. They don't want to give importance to the teachings. So here we see in the case of Arjuna, he remembered the dealings of Krishna and he also remembered the teachings of Krishna. And there is like another beautiful example of Kardama Muni in the third canto. It is described that Kardama Muni, when he performed austerities for Lord Vishnu was so pleased by the devotion of Kardama Muni. When Lord Vishnu appeared, he actually shed tears out of affection towards Kardama Muni. In fact, Suniti, in Dhruva Maharaj's story, Suniti tells Dhruva Maharaj that actually the affection of Krishna is millions of times greater than the affection of the mothers in this world. So definitely mother's affection toward the child is considered to be the highest in this world. So Suniti is saying that Krishna is having millions of times more affection than any mother. So when a person experiences such affection of the Supreme Lord, and when that Supreme Lord is actually shedding tears, so you can remember that how much it would have actually touched the heart of Kardama Muni. But that Kardama Muni, when he got the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his own son, and he knew that, actually it's not that, he knew that Supreme Lord himself has appeared as his son, because it was actually told by the Supreme Lord before itself. When the Supreme Lord himself appeared as his son, but he actually, after that, he actually left home in order to actually enter the renounced order. So one who has experienced such affection of the Supreme Lord, how can such a person actually leave the association of such a person? But Kardama Muni, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Kardama Muni chose to give more importance to the teachings of the Supreme Lord in the Vedic scriptures, which tell that how a person after a certain age, after the grihastha ashram, one is supposed to proceed to the next ashram, vanaprastha and sannyasa ashram. So he actually, although he had experienced the affection of the Lord, but he actually chose to give importance to the teachings of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes in that purport, I just want to read few sentences from the purport. So even though he had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son, he had to respect the authority of the Vedas, and this is a very important lesson. And then he says, even one has God in his home as his son, one should still follow the Vedic injunctions, which are actually the instructions of the Lord. So we see that giving importance to the teachings is actually, it plays a crucial role in the growth of a sadhaka in the long run. And like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, because he gives another reason in the Kardama Muni's episode, he gives a reason from a rasa point of view, why he actually left home. So Kardama Muni was thinking that throughout my life I have worshipped the Supreme Lord in the dasyaris, in the mood of a servant. But now I have got the Supreme Lord as my son, so then I will have to serve the Supreme Lord in the mood of Vatsalya Ras and with a mixture of maybe Dasya Ras. But Kardama Muni, but he was not comfortable with that, because he was actually fixed in the mood of Dasya Ras. So therefore, that is another reason Chakravarti Bhat gives from a rasa point of view, that he actually left home. So, but Prabhupada gives this reason in the purport. So in this way we see that the Pandavas, how they actually gave importance to the teachings of Krishna, and that becomes that's important to actually for Krishna to perform the greatest miracle of giving himself to us. And another point which comes in this one of the previous verses is that, so Prabhupada writes that this is the heart of a preacher, by actually quoting the words of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So what actually Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to establish by performing the Rajasya sacrifice, Kadyan Maharaj writes in the purport, he mentions three points. One is that Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to establish the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he wants to show the world the difference between accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and accepting Krishna as an ordinary historical person. And the third point which Yudhishthira Maharaj had in his mind is that, and Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to show that how by taking shelter of Krishna, all one's material needs and spiritual needs both will be satisfied. How by taking shelter of Krishna, a person can attain the highest perfection of life, and one's both material and spiritual needs will be satisfied. And especially, this word is important. It's explained that, the verse says that, Nishtam Pradarshaya Vibho. Pradarshaya Vibho means, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he did not want to simply tell the people, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He wanted to demonstrate to the world how by accepting Krishna as the Supreme Lord, accepting his shelter, how all one's needs will be taken care of. He wanted to actually demonstrate. He wanted to show to the world. So preaching is not simply about telling to the people, but it is about actually demonstrating. It is about actually giving the experience to the people. Not only telling, but it is also, in addition to that, giving the experience to the people, demonstrating how by following this process, one will experience these changes. So Govind Prabhu has written a beautiful article. I want to share that. So there are three things: knowing, understanding, and experiencing. So one is that some people actually may know certain things, but somebody knows certain principle, but if a person does not understand it, it simply remains as an information. And somebody may understand a particular concept, but if he is not actually experiencing that, then it simply remains on an analytical level. It's simply maybe a intellectual analysis he tries to understand. And some people may experience certain changes, but by following a certain ritual or certain process. But if they do not have the understanding of those processes, if they do not know why they are doing, why we are doing what we are doing, then it simply remains on a level of a feeling. It may remain on a sentimental level, and they may not understand the meaning behind what they are doing. So especially for any religious tradition, in order to establish a sustainable legacy, so they have to give the knowledge and they have to give the understanding of that knowledge, and they should also give the experience of following the process in order to establish a sustainable legacy. So therefore, book distribution is definitely very important, but equally important is to actually demonstrate how by following the teachings which are given in the books, a person can experience a change in life. So that is also important. Otherwise, a person reads the books and he is inspired, and then he comes to the temple, and in the temple he sees politics or quarreling and uncooperation, etc. So he got a certain knowledge and understanding, but the experience he got is different. So then it will create a lot of doubt in the process. And there are so many other spiritual organizations, they do not have any philosophy actually. their philosophy is very shallow, but they are very good in actually giving good hospitality to the people. They are very good in actually giving a superficial show of the experience, and people get carried away by those experience, and they may not get the proper understanding. Of course, that will not work in the long run. But the point is that one has to not only give the knowledge, but one has to actually give the experience of what is there in the books. So that is why Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, Pradarshaya Vibhu, I want to demonstrate to the world. Another thing we can see, that Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is actually in the personal association of Krishna. He is actually having the personal association of Krishna, but Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying that we Pandavas, we are satisfied to be in your personal association, but my heart is pained to see those people who are actually criticizing you. When I think of those people who are actually criticizing you, who are considering you as an ordinary person, by remembering that, my heart is actually pained. So we can see that when a person is actually satisfied, and when a person is relishing the personal association of Krishna, that should actually lead to feeling compassion for other people who are suffering without the shelter of Krishna. And if that feeling does not come, then the so-called satisfaction in Krishna consciousness, it is actually somewhat in a very superficial level or in a shallow platform. And we see in many places in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, the end of the fourth canto, when the Maitreya Rishis and Vidura's the conversation ends, the Vidura, the last verse of the fourth canto, is explained that Vidura, on hearing the Maitreya Rishi's instructions, he experienced such ecstasy, he experienced such transcendental bliss. So that is how the verse describes. And immediately the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami says, then Vidura departed for Hastinapur in order to deliver his brother Dhritarashtra. So the one verse says that how he was experiencing intense bliss, and that intense bliss was leading to actually the concern for Dhritarashtra. So like that, there is another section in the fourth canto, in the Rudra Geet section, Lord Shiva offers a very beautiful prayers. He is teaching this to the Prachetas, and he says that Jitam te Atma Vitvariya Swastaye Swasti Rastume Bhavata Radasa Radham Sarvasma Atmane Namaha. So he actually glorifies the different forms of the Lord, the Vasudeva form, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Jitam te Atma Vidvariya, you are the leader of all the self-realized people. Swastaye Swasti Rastume, let there be auspiciousness for all of us. And then he says that Sankarshanaya Sukshmaya Durantaya Antakaya Cha Nama Vishwa Prabodaya Pradyumnaya Antaratmane. He offers obeisances to the form of Sankarshan. His Sankarshan is the master of integration and disintegration. Not the integration in the mathematics. So he is the master of integration. He keeps all the material elements intact, and he only is responsible for disintegration. He actually annihilates everything. So in this way, when he offers obeisances to these forms, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, his internal prayer is that, because all these forms are the lords of different functions. Vasudev is the lord of consciousness, Sankarshan is the lord of false ego, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they are the lord of mind and intelligence. So by glorifying, by offering obeisances to these personalities, Lord Shiva is saying that, let my mind be engaged in thinking of you. Let my intelligence be engaged in your service. and let my consciousness be engaged in your service. So in this way, after he offers prayers, that another prayer he says that forget that prayer. So he says that let me engage in your service in such an exclusive manner that let me not have any obligation towards the demigods and the forefathers. So like that he is praying to the Lord. But after offering these prayers, in another beautiful verse he says, Sarva Satvatma Dehaya Viseshaya Staviyase Namastrailokya Palaya Sahavojo Balayacha. He says that he is offering obeisances to the universal form of the Lord. You are the gigantic universal form which contains all the individual bodies of the living entities. So when he is offering this prayer, what is his actually internal, what is his internal intention? His prayer is that may the body, mind and intelligence and the senses of all the living entities in this universe, let them all be engaged in your service. So in that sense, Lord Shiva, he is not only offering praise to the Supreme Lord to engage his mind and intelligence in service of the Lord, and that devotion to the Lord is actually extending for concern for other living entities. So therefore he is saying that let the faculties, let the senses of all the living entities also be engaged in your service. So that is why we see in the case of the Pandavas also, Yudhishthira Maharaj is satisfied, all the Pandavas are satisfied in their devotion to the Lord, and they are also satisfied in their mutual relationship with each other, and that is actually extending to establish the position of Krishna for others' sake. So His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, so he mentioned in one class, he said that our satisfaction in Krishna consciousness and our ability to convince others is very much based upon the type of loving relationships we develop with each other. So in that sense, the loving relationships which we have with each other devotees, that plays a crucial role in preaching to others. So that is why one has to have an integral approach to the spiritual life. So sometimes when a person is focused on preaching, but if he does not focus on the relationship with other devotees, then one can feel a certain dryness. One may not have the empowerment to actually convince others also. So Pandavas had the loving relationship with each other, and they were satisfied in the relationship with Krishna, and now it is actually extending to show compassion to others, and that's what Hridayananda Maharaj says as the heart of a preacher. Lastly, we will conclude this point. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he spoke these verses, when this verse which we are reading, the 7th verse, Krishna is saying that basically Krishna is approving the decision of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he says that your noble flame will spread to all the worlds, O tormentor of your enemies. So Krishna, Vishnu Chakravartipad mentions a beautiful point in this purport. So Vishnu Chakravartipad says that Krishna is telling this verse in the mood of an ordinary human being. So Yudhishthira Maharaj glorified Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and he said that I want to perform this sacrifice to establish your position as the Supreme Lord. But Krishna is speaking this verse. Krishna is not, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is actually speaking this verse in the mood of an ordinary human being. So what is the point is that, like many times the tendency in this world is that, tendency in the material world is that many times common people, they glorify a person, he may be at a certain level, but they glorify a person as if he is a much higher level. And we see, like for example, say Bollywood heroes. So if we see, actually in one sense, they are just entertainers. It's like, suppose sometimes in the roads we see in the villages or some small towns, some people, they bring some snake and then they play some music, and then so many people gather around, and that becomes entertainment for them. So if we see from one point of view, these Bollywood heroes are like just like these roadside entertainers only. In one sense, they are like entertainers. They may be earning crores of money, but actually they are just entertainers. But just because somebody is acting in the role of a hero, the common people, they make the entertainer to the level of a hero. So they give value to their opinions as if they are heroes in the real life, whereas they may be zeros in the real life. So, and these heroes also, they get carried away by this glorification of the common people, and they feel that just because they are acting in the heroes in the movies, so they also have the authority to give opinions to the people. So the tendency of the material world is that they make the ordinary person to a higher level, and those people who are glorified like that, they tend to get carried away by such glorification. But in the case of, just like one European country, so one person shot some 4 or 5 goals in a match, so then people started saying, make him the president of the country. We see even in India, like when India wins a cricket match, some tournament, so it is like somebody is given a Rajya Sabha ticket. But when the same people lose, then they put Chappal Mala, like that. So the tendency is there to get carried away. But Krishna is speaking this verse in the mood of an ordinary human being. So in this way we see that Krishna is Krishna's heart is actually shown. And Krishna is actually empowering Yudhishthira Maharaj to become the tormentor of the enemies. And Krishna is saying that your fame will spread. In the first canto, it is explained that Yudhishthira Maharaj performed only 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices, but his fame was equal to that of Indra. It was more than that of Indra. So normally 3 is less than 100. But 3 plus blessings of the Lord is actually greater than 100. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he received the blessings of the Lord, his fame was actually more than that of Indra. So I think I will end here. ग्रंथना श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर भक्त वृंद की जय